Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Folks, Tom Donnan is back as our special guest today. Now, Tom's an evangelist, author, teacher, someone who's on fire for God. Amen. And he is gifted in discerning spiritual things that others see only in the natural. But I always look forward to our times together each month as Tom shares from the spiritual perspective about things happening all around us in the news and in our lives. And if you're familiar with our conversations, I always have to say this as a disclaimer, Tom. We may have an outline of some topics to talk about, but it's the Holy Spirit that guides the conversations. And that means we never know what kind of rabbit trails we're going to be led down today. Amen. Help me welcome back to the program our good friend, Tom Donnan. Tom, thanks for coming back on the show today.
Pastor Bob, we always have a lot of fun, and today we got some good anticipation because we're breaching a new subject, and so I'm looking forward to that, as well as we talk about the convergence, right? I was just with the couple that friends of mine down here in Florida, and we were talking about how quickly things are speeding up. It's scary.
Speeding up, spiraling out of control.
Oh, man.
You know, it's one thing if you're on a, you know, one of them rocket trains on a controlled track, you know, going through. This is like a tornado coming through. I mean, it's just tearing everything up. And the passivity of people is like, oh, well, what are you going to do? That's not going to work. And, you know, when the power's out and the food is gone and the water system's shut down because the power's out, you know, they're not pumping water to you, you know.
Yeah.
And, oh, we don't want people to have wells in their yard anymore. You know, stuff like that. You're totally dependent on Big Brother. And
well,
that is not a good place to be. But that might be a topic for a different day, because we
Got
enough to talk about today, amen?
Yeah.
So I think what I'd like to talk about is what's happening. Really, we'll start this off. It's happening in the number one economic powerhouse of the world and the most powerful military force in the world right now, China. Oh, that may have busted somebody's bubble somewhere. But as anti-American as that sounds, it's what is developing right before our very eyes. And as we've said before, God will allow certain things to happen in order to capture the attention of believers to basically get with the program. You know, and my wife called me in. My wife called me in the other day to see something on TV, and then I went and checked it out online. And sure enough, there was a YouTube video already about it. The skyscraper in China that's like swaying back and forth in the wind, so much so that they had to evacuate the building because the authorities thought it was going to fall over. Did you see that?
That is absolutely phenomenal. I was so shocked when I got across that video. And the thing is that they're trying to explain why in the world is this thing swaying so much. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in downtown Chicago, we got three high-rise buildings down there, and they build in a sway for the wind, right? And the John Hancock building can have about 18 inches of sway. So when it comes to the elevator, that's important because they need flexibility. And if it gets too bad, there's sensors in there to be able to stop the elevators. But this one is not in that category. So what did they say? Wind, subway, and what? There was one other issue that they were saying that they think contributes to the fact that this building is swaying like that.
Resonance,
right?
Resonance or something.
Okay.
Like vibrations, yeah.
All right, we got a lot of buildings in downtown Chicago, and we're on the edge of a lake, right? It don't happen that way. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this building and the swaying, and they had multiple times in a short period. You know, like in several days, this thing starts swaying.
The building has been there for years. And they said, well, we never had this problem before.
Not good. Yeah. Not good at all.
But, I mean, folks, it showed some shots from the apartment, and it had like a, you know, a dehumidifier or something sitting in the, and the thing is just shaking like this because of the shaking of the building. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, and then of course up on the upper floors they had a swimming pool where the water was splashing out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I seen that on a cruise ship once. We were going through a tough time. They closed down the pool area and I just walked by to look at it and it looked like a surf. Like, you know, you see those theme parks where the big waves come in and people could ride the surfboards. That's how big these waves were. That's what was happening in that pool on the hotel or building and stuff.
Yeah, they probably got the engineers out there looking at the specs and trying to figure it out, because I don't think a subway going by is going to be doing this.
No. If there is, there's a whole bunch of fat people on there.
Amen.
So, I mean, and you talk about, you know, they said, well, maybe there was an earthquake, because that's what it looked like. It looked like the building was shaking in an earthquake. But, you know, you and I talk about earthquakes happening, you know, all over the world all the time. Since we're talking about here in China, they just experience, for lack of a better word, I guess you could call it a spawning of earthquakes all in one day. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was paying attention to that, where they had in a region, they had 4 earthquakes in like a 12-hour period. And then I just recently checked, and then there was a 7.3 that they just had in the last 2 days. So that's a significant earthquake. No, and so you're thinking to yourself, it comes back to the shaking. We're seeing things being shaken in various places of the world, and it is causing people to come out of their comfort zones. No, and so here you got this. And of course, China's got floods and they got other problems that are going on over there. And so it's pretty amazing how all of this, we talk about convergence, but yes, this stuff seems to be picking up. We talk about birth pains too, you know, where it seems to, okay, it picks up for a while and then it doesn't, and then it picks up for a while. And so, but it seems as though things are getting more. We talked about this before, where The burdens are coming on to people that are forcing them to go outside of their comfort zone, to go outside of the box, to try to you know, seek God. They know it's going to cost them something when they seek God, so therefore they're starting to pay willing to pay the price to be able to do that. No, amen. Because things are getting so out of control.
Yeah, amen. You know, another topic we discussed. Almost every time you come on, we can discuss this one because there's so much of it, is the escalation of volcanic activity around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, as I was preparing for this, I was praying about, you know, what we're going to talk about today, and the Lord showed me a boiling pot, you know, that old adage, you know, takes forever to watch a pot boil, you know, type thing. And, but once it starts boiling, I mean, it just, you know, starts rumbling and it rolls. And that he showed me, looking at the world right now, this all started slow, you know, and slowly. But right now, we're watching a point boil when it comes to these end time events. It seems like, you know, this is a warning sign starting, you know, started slow, but now it's like the earth has reached its boiling point with earthquakes and volcanic eruptions all over the place. And matter of fact, I recently seen volcanic activity on the news the other day in Sicily. Starting
again. Okay,
Italy, as well as Africa. I mean, have you checked out any of that information?
Well, okay, so let's not forget about Iceland.
And Iceland too, yeah.
Iceland has had an ongoing lava flow to where they have one like major artery that goes past this area for a road. And they came in with excavators and bulldozers and they made a berm, right? To try to hold the lava back. Well, it only lasted a couple of days, you know, and what happened is that road took a hit because it never stops emitting the lava. Yeah. It's been going on for some time now. And then you have the one where it just took place in the Congo. All right. Now this is a new one. I have never seen this before. All right. So they had a big lava flow. You know, there's a difference between the makeup of the lava. Some lava flows slowly, but others flow rapidly. And the one in the Congo, the lava flow, it moved pretty fast, right? But here's another thing that happened is that they just had an earthquake. And in the earthquake, they have methane pockets, right? And I'm watching I'm watching the video, and there's a pocket in the lake, and it's coming up through the lake, and it caught on fire. And so they have this huge fire on the water in this area by this volcano, and as well as methane pockets in the surrounding area where people live. So what happens is that it catches on fire, right? So you can't see it because it's burning so hot. So they were throwing pieces of wood on it, and then you see it expand, right? In the city, in wow. where people live. They had these methane pockets, and some of them haven't caught on fire yet, which is good. No, I've never seen anything like that before. So I'm thinking, wow, this is okay. So wasn't there a place in America here where they had a problem with natural gas? They hit something where natural gas started coming up, and they had to evacuate the whole town, and it's still people don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this stuff does happen. But these poor people in the Congo, their lives are totally messed up because of this.
Yeah. Amen. And you know, I mean, a lot of, when the volcanoes first start, what happens? Everyone wants to go see it. You know, yeah. Oh, this is kind of cool. Look at that.
Yeah. No.
And, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, it's like a river of liquid rock coming towards us. Oh, we got to go.
And to go.
We talked about the floods. Oh, this is probably 2-3 sessions ago, where the inspectors went out to view this the dam, you know, that had been made, you know, 50 years ago, and they're out there and they see this dam just falling apart. Like, we got to get out of here because this thing could, this whole thing could go, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, how much longer you think it'll last? Oh, not very long. Let's go. We got to evacuate town. Let's get everybody out of here. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what
that's one of the
volcanoes are.
That's one of the things that that sometimes you don't have any experience about, right? So you don't see the things coming together because there's nothing to draw on other than maybe some intuition or something. It's like the people who go out to see the iceberg, right? The glacier, right? And they're out there admiring it, and all of a sudden it calves, right? Mm-hmm. So they're watching, oh, it's calving. And then all of a sudden a huge wave starts coming in their way. In their direction, and you see them turn, take one step, and plow. You know, the wave comes over them because they had no way of knowing that this was about to happen. And this is what this volcano, these people, it's been dormant for like 3-4 decades.
Yeah.
Some of them have probably never experienced this before.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. My granddaughter was talking to me. We were talking about when I went to Hawaii, my wife and I went to Hawaii back in 1990, maybe something like that, 91, as part of a group we were with, and she's like, oh, I'd like to go to Hawaii. I want to see a volcano. I said, yeah, we went up. We've seen, was it Kilauea in Hawaii? Yeah. So, you know, you go right up to the very rim, look over, you know, it's like miles across. I said,
yeah,
you've seen pictures of the moon. That's what this looked like, because the pockets of, you know, methane and stuff like that is popping up and just pops the powder out. So it makes a little crater. And you can see it's orange, you know, it's got lava down in there still. But it says, stink to high heaven. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That thing, the rotten egg smell. Oh, it was just, my wife had to leave. It was making her nauseous, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, so that's looking at the moonscape, because that's all the inside of a crater or a volcano looks like.
Well, that is the same thing when we talked about the volcanoes. You know, sometimes what happens is that, like Krakatoa, of course, in 1888, I think it was a severe explosion. Then you got Mount St. Helens. And it was a severe explosion. But we don't see a lot of severe ones. It's like it's a burp, you know, like a cloud comes up. And then we have a couple that have the lava flows, which is significant, of course, for the surrounding area. Up in Iceland, it's so remote that I don't think it's going to affect the villagers at this time, right? But in the Congo, it's right in their own backyard. And look at St. Vincent, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That island. Yeah. The ash devastated the island.
Yep. Amen. Amen. This relates back to the earth is starting to quake and shake and it's starting to boil itself, and because the volcanic eruptions, you know, the lava flows, that causes earthquakes, you know, obviously, and you know, it may not even be, it could be hundreds of miles away from a volcano, and a good earthquake releases that pressure, and some of the lava comes
up. Oh, yeah.
And now you got a new volcano. You
know, yeah.
I remember when I was in school back in the early 60s, that happened to one, I can't remember where it was, but it was down in Mexico, or maybe down even South America. This farmer was, you know, going out to plow his field and seeing this little, you know, 2-3 foot puff of dust that had formed overnight with, you know, steam coming out of it. He goes, oh, what's this? Went into town. Hey, come out and check this out. By the time they got back there, now it was like 6 feet tall. And they called, you know, the authorities, and some scientists came from the university. You know, it was like 2 days later, he finally made it out there. And now this thing is, you know, about the size of a house. And he's like, we need to get everybody out of this area. This is a volcano starting right here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It formed like within just a couple of months, that thing was huge, you know.
Wow.
But that's, you know, that's what happens when a fissure opens up under your feet. You know, that stuff comes out.
Exactly. And so it's just another thing that is affecting people's lives. And it's a serious thing that is taking place. Now, for Iceland, it's not quite so serious yet, you know, but in the Congo, it is devastating, as well as St. Vincent is devastating.
Yeah.
And the one in Honduras, I really haven't checked on yet, you know, but there was one that was ongoing in Honduras. I think it was Honduras. And so right now, before when we did this, there was about 50 of them that were active worldwide. Now it's down to about 30. But the ones that are active, they have lava flows. No, and so that's a different type of experience. And it's almost like there's an internal pressure that's being released by these lava flows.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, that affects the economies. It affects, you know, the farmers and all that. And speaking of farming and all that good stuff, let's talk about the drought that's beginning to impact the world. It has been, it's an ongoing drought that's impacted the world, especially here in the United States. And this is only May right now at the time of this recording. And we are already experiencing severe drought conditions in some parts of the country. So much so, did you see that California and Oregon cut off the water supply to irrigation farms? I mean,
I couldn't believe that.
That sounds like a good idea. No water and no food. Yeah. Let's raise the taxes because, you know, these people need help. So, you know, California, what a lovely place to live. No laws, higher taxes, no water, no food. Yeah, just advertise that and see how many people come flooding in to live in California, you know?
Yeah. No, a lot of upheaval up there, not only in the society, but also geographically and, you know, like with the water. It's that it's so severe in that area, and I can't remember the name of the lake. It's at the northern part of California and the southern part of Oregon, where it feeds the river system because they have a dam there, right? But the water level is so low that they don't have enough to take care of the people. So they had to cut off the flow underneath the dam to keep the river going. And they know that it's going to affect the salmon and the trout that come up and they spawn in there. They don't have enough water to maintain that. They don't have enough for the agricultural systems, you know, to be able to have the help the farmers. You know, it's got to be pretty bad when they're willing to let all of this stuff be affected in a detrimental way.
Mm-hmm. Especially all these environmentally sensitive people, you know, that, you know, oh, you got to take care of the little baby fish, you know, type thing. And now it's like, no, they can die. We got to take care of ourselves.
It's survival mode.
Yep.
And that's exactly. Pretty serious. And then I was, I brought up something about like a farmer's channel, you know, which was kind of new. And they really get into this about the maps and the drought levels. And they had one area that was a severe drought level, and it had rained like 10 inches. And then it still didn't bring them up to where they needed their moisture level in the ground, to know that they're going to be okay with farming. And the surprising part is that the southeast area of the eastern coastline had a severe drought as well. And I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good. Of course, now, and, you know, the corn crops. Corn gets into a lot of different things, right?
Yep,
exactly. And if we're going to have a shortage of corn products, well, that's going to impact prices as well. That comes even the gas. We got ethanol. Yep.
That's right. That's right. Gas, cooking oil, food. Food for your livestock and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's just not, you know, the corn on the cob at a barbecue you're talking about. I mean,
right.
Corn is a major staple in this society.
It is.
Areas. You know. Yep, exactly. And all this is being impacted right now. As you said, these farmers, even with, after all that rain, they say their soil is still dry. It can't grow anything right now.
I mean, this
is reminiscent of the Dust Bowl days back in the 30s.
Well, I think they did talk about that a little bit, you know, and their concern. Mm-hmm. And so But that comes back to the different areas, the different parts of life, the different economy levels where they're all being shook. And so here's, you know, you and I have been talking about this, what, for nearly 18 months or longer, you know, and the thing is that if you are doing okay in life and everything is going well, all right, you have your comfort zone and you're not impacted, all right? But we're watching one segment of society after another that is having something shake them, and now they are being affected out of their comfort zone and concern. And it's pretty amazing to see how all of these things are starting, like we say, converging, you know, and people are starting to get shook out of that comfort zone. And I say, good, you know, I don't want to see people hurt. But that's when they start seeking God, and we need people. God's going to help them.
Amen. Amen. That's why I say God uses these things as a way to wake people up, you know, that you can't get through this on your own. And there's only one person that can help. His name's Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as always, when we're going through these conversations, you know, we end up talking about space in some form or fashion, you know, asteroids, comets, but today the big news is sunspots. I mean, could these sunspots also be causing the drought conditions that we're seeing? And I mean, sunspots cause a lot of damage to a lot of electronic devices, satellites and all that, you know, that we've come to rely on. You know, like I have satellite television, and if a storm comes through, we don't have television until the storm is done.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So how does the sunspots and all that work into this?
Well, the video that I was watching, of course, it was an amateur guy that was reporting on this. And so he kind of had his input into it, but the numbers don't lie. And the numbers are is how they were scaling the flares. You know, they have their ratings, A, B, C. I don't know if there is a D, but then they go to M and then they go to X, right? So M is, we've had a couple of M flares, which the sun has been like in, you know, quiet for some time now. No, you haven't heard any news. Of course, just a few years ago, we're having X class, and that was pretty scary because it does, you know, being an electrical person, you know, with working on elevators and stuff like that, you have what's called flux and induction. You see, like if you have a motor and there's no power applied, well, it's still. But when you apply the alternating current, what happens is that it excites the stator. Right. And it's moving back and forth. And this causes current. Right. So when these X flares are coming through, they're hitting our infrastructure for the power. And that is inducting an overload. And that overload can short out the circuitry. And so this is a thing that they are very concerned with because we've had it happen before where it affected the power grid. And so they're very concerned about it. But this was an M class. It still could do damage. But it's like, okay, where did this come from? Because we weren't kind of expecting this kind of sun activity. And that was a very strong concern.
Mm, yeah, amen. I know, you know, like I'm involved with a organization called EMP Shield that protects from lightning strikes and things like that. That, you know, the problem with, you know, because I am, with my ministry, we are highly reliant on technology. Yeah. If the power goes out, we are in trouble, right? But more than that, if a lightning strike happened, and you know, it could fry our computers, you know, everything we're doing, and you know, so there, I had to have protection for all this stuff. This company called EMP Shield, they make a protector that hooks up to the house. You put it actually between the meter in your house and the fuse box in the house, I think it is. And it's so quick to react. It's like, you know, 1/1,000,000th of a second or something like that. This thing can detect the surge, and it just turns everything off without having that surge come through your house and burning up your technology. The thing about it, it is so reliable, been proven over and over and over. The U.S. government is buying these things up to protect their infrastructure. You know, the national infrastructure for, you know, communications and stuff like that for military and Department of Defense. The Department of Defense is like one of their biggest contractors. They've did a contract with these groups. But the point I'm trying to make is technology is so ingrained in our society in ways that most people don't even realize, to tell the truth.
Yeah.
If sunspots can disrupt satellite communication, Okay. Well, yeah. That puts national defense at a high threat of having issues, not to mention, you know, retail, commerce, banks, your computer system. You know, there's even issues that, like that, that, you know, obviously when security drops because everyone's focused on keeping the ship running, right? That allows hackers to dive in and take over a little bit. Kind of like what happened recently with that oil pipeline. You know, that was a major carrier of fuel from the Texas area to the Atlantic Coast region.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for this portion of our interview with Tom Donnan. I pray you are getting a lot of value from this discussion. Tom always brings information on things and events happening all around us, some covered by the news and most that is not. But he always brings a spiritual perspective on these events for us. The good news is that all of this is pointing to the soon return of Jesus. Amen. Now, this was just part one of a great three-part interview. Praise God. And the information coming up, well, let's just say you will not want to miss the next couple of episodes. We are discussing the spiritual impact of things happening right now. Things you see are on the news every night. Things the politicians are doing. Things other nations are doing. And every single topic is screaming, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I urge you to go down in the show notes below and reach out to Tom. Ask your questions. Check out the book links down below as well. I'm telling you, folks, Tom's books are awesome and spot on spiritually. Amen. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.